Now, we come to chapter 2, and you are introduced now to a woman of a very shady character. She was a prostitute. Her name is Rahab, and she's labeled in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, actually among the heroes of faith. She's a heroine of faith. And by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not when she received the spies in faith. Now, I do not like to think of Hebrews 11 as heroes of faith. It puts emphasis on man, on humanity. I like to put the emphasis on faith. This is what faith did in all ages, under all circumstances, in the lives of men and women, and it means it can do the same thing for us, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Therefore, it's for us. Now, if God could have saved the harlot of Jericho, do you think he would have saved the mayor of the town or could have saved the mayor of the town? Well, I don't know. The mayor of the town could have been lots worse than Rahab. They are in some places. But the fact of the matter is, he could have saved the mayor of the town. I'm confident because he saved this woman. And how did he save her? By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not. And did you know she's in the genealogy of Christ? The New Testament opens with that genealogy. And you don't read down five verses in the New Testament till you come to this woman. She's very prominent, by the way. And how did she get in the genealogy of Christ? She got in by her faith. And we're going to see that as we enter this and then see the passage over Jordan. Let me begin reading in chapter 2. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Chittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Now you'll notice that the two that are sent to spy, somebody says they did that before and they made a mistake. Well, they sent spies before to see if they could take the land. The spies are not being sent this time to see if they could. They're being sent to find out the best way to enter the land. They're going into the land. Again, in verse 1, and they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men, hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, but I know not whence they were. Came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whether the men went, I know not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan under the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. Now this woman, she had faith, but she lied about that, friends. She told the king of Jericho an awful thing, but it was to protect these men. But she actually jeopardized her life. Now, why would she do that? Why would she put her life on the line like this? She didn't have to. And she's in a business, by the way, where anything goes. And she could have pursued any kind of conduct and gotten by with it. But notice what she's doing here. And she's jeopardizing her life. Why did she do it? I'm sure I'll get a letter from somebody that's going to raise the question. She certainly disobeyed the king and the authorities, and that we are told very definitely in Scripture that we are to obey the authorities and those that have the rule over us, and that we should do that. Well, that's true. Paul did say that, didn't he? That we are to be subject unto the powers that be, and that we are to respect those that have the rule over us. And I believe that. But this woman, Rahab, didn't do that, though someone is going to say. No, she didn't do that at all. To begin with, I don't think you, at the time that this experience took place, you'd quite call her a Christian, and certainly in the Old Testament, we wouldn't use that term anyway. But I don't think you'd call her a child of God until after this experience. So that would be one explanation. But to me, the one that I think has meaning for us today, what about the child of God? I believe that we are to obey the authorities, those that have the rule over us. And the fact of the matter is, the Christian should be the most law-abiding citizen that there is. But when the laws of a state conflict with God's revealed will, and it's clear, then the Christian has no choice but to obey the command of God, obey the word of God rather than man. And you will recall that saying of God, whether he should obey man or God, why, they'd have to judge that he intended to obey God. And so that should be the attitude of the child of God today. Now, I think that we can get Rahab off that hook very easily, what she did. Now, will you notice that she comes to the man and reveals why she did this? What was the reason that she did this? And here opens up a tremendous field for us. What wonderful truth we have here, and it throws a side light on other issues today. I'll read verse 8. Before they were laid down, that is the spies, and they're up on the roof now of Rahab's place, and they've been covered with stalks of flax. And she came up under them upon the roof, and she now makes her proposition to them. And this is it. She said unto the man, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Now, she gives an insight into the thinking of the public at that time. Apparently, here is this great company of people, nomads of the desert, that have come in on the east bank of Jordan. And the word is out, they're coming into that land, and they're going to take that land. And believe me, the population is stirred up, and you can understand why. Now, Rahab said that she was, I guess, in a position to get all the gossip of what was being talked by the public, and she said that everybody's frightened because of it. Now, listen to verse 10. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites, that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. Now notice, we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. Now, will you notice this? How long ago was that? Well, that happened 40 years before they arrived at the Jordan River, friends. 40 years had gone by. And in that 40 years, what was taking place? God was giving these people in that land an opportunity to turn to God. You say, how do you know that? I know that because you will recall that God said to Abraham, I'll have to put your offspring out of this land. I can't give it to them now, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And that was to be 420 years later. In other words, God was going to give those people 420 years to decide whether they would turn to God. Now, he kept his people. He very frankly told them that he kept them in that wilderness. Remember, Moses told them, God has kept us in this wilderness and has not let us enter that land. On our part, it's because of our unbelief on God's part. He didn't bring us in immediately at the time because he's giving those people in that land an opportunity to see if they'll turn to God. Now, the critic today says, It's so horrible, uncivilized and cruel and barbarian. And the God of the Old Testament is a great big bully. And he went in there arbitrarily and he slew the people in that land. Now, I have a question to ask the liberal today. And my question is, God gave them first 420 years. They didn't turn to God. Now, in my book, that's long enough. Then he enforced it by giving them 40 years and let them hear a message. Here come a people into that land. What are you going to do, receive them or resist them? Are you going to believe God or are you not going to believe God? God did not destroy a people that had not heard about him. He gave them ample opportunity to turn to himself. And my question is, how much longer, Mr. Critic, do you think God should have given them? He gave them 420 years. Would you think that 421 years would have been better? Maybe 422 years would have shown that he was big-hearted and that he was gracious with them. Would it take that? Well, the fact of the matter is, friends, 420 years was ample opportunity for them to turn. And the last 40 years, they had every reason to believe because they had heard something. And God would not destroy them unless they had heard something. And they had to make up their mind. Now, God hasn't changed in the New Testament. He's made it very clear that those that reject Jesus Christ are going to hell. Isn't that awful to say that in this very civilized society that you and I live in today when we poo-poo things like that? But that's what he says, friends. Now, I'm sure that when that comes to pass, that there are going to be some soft-hearted and soft-headed folk on the sideline that are going to say, well, he should have given them more time. More time? My friends, 1,900 years have gone by. And God is patient today, and he's slow to anger, and he's merciful. How much longer do you want him to give us? How much longer should he give a person? He's giving the world ample opportunity. The harlot says, we have heard. Now notice something else, verse 11. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man, because of you, for the Lord your God, he's God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now, not only did they hear something, they knew it was true. Now, there are a great many people today, they know that it's a historical fact that Jesus Christ died, buried, and rose again, but they're not saved. What saves you? It's to trust him, friend. It's to have a personal relationship with him. That's the thing that is important. Now, listen, that's not all she said. Verse 12, now therefore I pray you swear unto me by the Lord, since I've showed you kindness, that ye will show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother, my brethren, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. The man answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we'll deal kindly and truly with thee. You see what has happened? She not only believed it, she's acting upon that belief. She heard it, she believed it, and then she acted upon it. That's salvation, friends. When you hear the gospel, what Christ has done for you, then you trust him as your Savior. And you have to believe it if you're accepting facts. That is, you know that it is a fact of history, but it's meaningless until you trust Christ yourself. So this woman trusted the fact that God was going to give them that land. She turned to God by faith. The harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not when she received the spies in peace. Now, may I say this? When God destroys Jericho, remember, God's not wrong in doing it. He's not destroying a poor, helpless people that had no opportunity. They just had 420 years. They just had 40 years. God was having his people out there marking time in the desert to see where these people had come to God. And I've repeated again, if the mayor of the city of Jericho had wanted to turn to God, he could have turned to God and been saved. In fact, the whole city could have been spared if they'd believed God. God says that he has given his son to the world, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish. Don't forget that. You and I are lost sinners until we've been saved. And until then, why, Christ stands as the Savior, and it's what you do with him that'll determine your eternal destiny. What a picture we have here in this incident. Now, I turn just to the last verse of this chapter. The spies went back and reported. Notice what they reported. They said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered unto our hands all the land. You see, they're going in. It's not a question now to see whether they should go in. They're going in. For even all the inhabitants of the land do faint because of us. They got that report, you see, from Rahab the harlot.